First of all, I want to wish all of you who are mothers happy Mother's Day. We will have a blessing for mothers at the end of the liturgy prior to the blessing of the community. I hope your families have been especially good to you today. And I also hope that all of you whose mothers have gone to God, as my mother has, have prayed for your mothers today, because we believe in the communion of saints, a relationship with us and those who've gone before us. And that's especially true about our mothers, I'm sure, that they look over us and care for us from their place with God. So happy Mother's Day. Yesterday, as I was preparing to celebrate the vigil mass here at the cathedral, Father Gill, who is the pastor of the parish, who's my master of ceremonies again this evening, told me that the Feast of the Ascension, which we celebrated last Thursday, was his favorite holy day. I mentioned at Mass that I think he's the only person in the world who considers the Ascension their favorite holy day. For most of us, it would be Christmas or maybe All Saints Day, but why the Feast of the Ascension? I'm going to talk about the Ascension this evening because many people don't go to Mass on Ascension Thursday, but also because it is a very, very important part of what we call the Paschal mystery that we don't think about very often. So I'd like you to think about it with me in the next few minutes. I use the term Paschal mystery, which is a term we began to use in the church back in the late 1960s after the Second Vatican Council. I had never heard of it before, and I don't know how many people in the church actually know what it means. The word Paschal is the Mediterranean word, or the word in Latin and in French and Italian and Spanish for Easter. So when we say the Paschal mystery, it would probably be better for us in the States to refer to it as the Easter mystery. But the reason we don't do that is because the Paschal mystery includes much more than just the Feast of Easter. It's about the whole act of Jesus at that moment in his life and his death, when he suffered and died for us, rose from the dead for us, and then ascended to the Father at the end of his earthly presence among us in his bodily form. And so the Feast of the Ascension is the culmination of the Easter feast, or the Paschal mystery. So it has some significance for us. What did the Feast of Ascension Thursday mean? And I have 3 points I'd like to emphasize. The first thing it means is that the Jesus who rose from the dead for us and gave us new life now reigns for us in heaven. He didn't just rise from the dead, he ascended to the Father, and he reigns as Lord of history. We see this in today's first reading and today's second reading. The first reading is that story about the first martyr of our church, Saint Stephen, who was stoned because of his belief in Jesus Christ. But what's important about this passage for this season of the Ascension is the description of what he experienced as he was being stoned. Listen once again to this passage from the Acts of the Apostles. It says, "Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" You know, that's a place where he is reigning as King of the universe. In today's second reading from the book of Revelation, there's a passage there where Jesus is speaking to the church, and he says here, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Those are Greek words. Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And Jesus is claiming here, "I'm the Alpha, I'm the beginning and the end." And by the end, it doesn't mean the final piece, it means the culmination, the goal. Now, Jesus is the beginning of creation. Everything was made for him, according to St. Paul's letters. Everything was made through him. And he is the Lord of all that is. So Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Jesus reigns. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like he reigns, does it? We consider the struggles in our personal lives. The political situation in the world is pretty rough sometimes. And some people are really concerned that this year in our own country, because of the election, it's also a mess. But nonetheless, those of us who are believers believe that it's somehow in God's hand, that Jesus is the beginning and the end, and that all history will find its meaning in the Lord Jesus, who reigns as Lord of our lives. So that's one of the meanings of the Feast of the Ascension. A second meaning is, I think, expressed most clearly in a recent writing of Pope Benedict XVI. You haven't forgotten him, have you? He was the Pope before Pope Francis. And this is what he said about the meaning of the Ascension. I like to use this quote every year because it's such a clear expression of what this feast means. He says, the meaning of Christ's ascension expresses our belief that in Christ, the humanity that we all share has entered into the inner life of God in a new and hitherto unheard of way. It means that man has found an everlasting place in God. And when Jesus ascended to the Father, he took his risen body with him, took our humanity with him, and in the act of the ascension, those of us who share that humanity are brought into the very heart of God, into the heart of the Blessed Trinity, which is a wonderful thing. It means that we have great value, that Jesus has brought us into the very heart of God. And if it's true that you have great value, it means your neighbor also has great value, because your neighbor's in the heart of God with you. And this means we need to respect ourselves, our bodies, as well as our spirits. You know, the human body is not sinful. It tends to sin, but in and of itself, it's holy and good. We need to respect our bodies. We also need to respect the bodies of other people in different ways. You know, we're not violent against other people. We're chaste in our relationship with other people. We're respectful of other people because God has, through the ascension of Jesus Christ, taken our human nature into the very heart of God. An extraordinary thing. The third thing I'd like to emphasize is best summarized by a few words from another pope. This one is Pope Leo the Great. You know, one of the things that's characteristic of the Catholic community is that we believe that Jesus comes to us in all kinds of ways, but primarily in the life of the church through his word, the scriptures, which we hear proclaimed. When the scriptures are proclaimed, Jesus is speaking in our community. But we also, those of us who are Catholics, believe that Jesus also comes to us in the sacraments. So the sacraments are not just ceremonies that we go through. They're moments of an encounter with Jesus Christ, who is present to us really and visibly in the sacrament. This is what Pope Leo the Great said. Because of the ascension, the Lord's visible presence has passed into the sacraments of the church. You know, his apostles saw his body visually before he ascended to heaven to the Father. But we see Jesus with our bodily eyes in the sacraments. You know, he's in the water that baptizes us. He's in the bread and wine that becomes his body and blood in the Eucharist. He's in the oil through which we are anointed at the sacrament of confirmation. Last night, we celebrated the wedding anniversaries of people in the Archdiocese here, 50 years and 25 years and all in between. And I reminded the people that we believe that marriage is a sacrament. That means that in the love that a husband has for his wife and a wife has for her husbands, we see the visible presence of Jesus who loves the church. So Jesus' visible presence has passed because of the ascension into heaven from seeing him corporally to seeing him in sacramental ways. And this is wonderful because Jesus isn't just in one place, but he's everywhere, even coming to the people throughout the world at the same time through the sacraments of the church. So this is why the Feast of the Ascension is such an important thing for us. It's the culmination of the Easter mystery, the Paschal mystery, and we celebrate it in a very special way in these 10 days between Ascension Thursday and the Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrate next Sunday. Okay, so that's a reflection on the Ascension, but I want to talk also about today's Gospel, which really doesn't fit into the same kind of theme. This Gospel passage comes from the night before Jesus was captured and put in prison and the day before he was crucified. And he's talking to his apostles, and in the midst of his visit with him at this very important moment, he prays. So we have a window into the prayer of Jesus in this particular passage. And it's unique, a unique opportunity, because we get a chance to compare the kind of things we pray for, our prayer, with the prayer of Jesus. What do you pray for most of all? Mostly we pray because we're worried about something, huh? About the health of our wife, our spouse, our children. My own niece says she's 32 years old and she's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And so my family's praying very much for her today. And those prayers are very, very important, very, very important. But Jesus' prayer is quite different. In this particular passage, which took place the night before he died, what does he pray for? He prays for the unity of the church. Listen again to his words. Holy Father, I pray that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, why would Jesus pray for unity? And why don't we? You know, it's another question. Why would Jesus pray for unity? Well, he says here that the reason he's praying that we would be one, not just in a friendly way, but we would be one as he and the Father are one, which is exactly at oneness, you know, so that the world might believe. Because without the unity of the church, the world is not going to believe that he's the one who sent from the Father. Now, the world doesn't believe, right? And it doesn't believe because we don't give witness to the reality by our unity, our love for one another. The Christian community is divided. The first division was between the, what we refer to now as the Orthodox and the Catholics. And then the Catholic community divided into what we call Protestant communities and the Roman Catholic and the Greek Catholic communities. And then the Protestant communities divided into literally thousands of communities. And then we have the Mormons on top of that, which is another version of Christianity. So there's no unity on the part of the followers of Jesus Christ. And even those of us who are members of the church don't often by our lives give very clear witness to the fact that we desire and love the unity that is at the heart of who God is. So Jesus is praying for this for our church. And that means we should be praying for it too. When's the last, don't raise your hands, when's the last time you prayed for Christian unity? It usually isn't the first thing on the top of my mind, but it was at the top of Jesus' mind. And that means that you and I better put it there at least somewhere close to the top, if not at the top, so that the world might truly believe that Jesus is the Lord and Messiah, the Lord of history, the King of the world. We ask the Lord to do that so that we might truly give witness to the world and that the world might believe. In the 9 days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost, the church gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem because Jesus told them to wait there and pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you're doing that too. Next Sunday we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which is referred to as the birthday of the church, because everything that Jesus did that was now given to the church to do. And that's a big feast that we'll be celebrating next Sunday. So pray. Pray that the church will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we might work for the unity that Jesus truly desires. One last thing. What was it? I had one more thing I wanted you to pray for. I lost it already. It wasn't Mother's Day, because I already mentioned that. Well, if I remember before Mass is over, I'll tell you what the last thing was. But we ask the Lord to be with us as we continue to celebrate his love in our liturgy this evening.